The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
It came from the radio. This is your host, Mari Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
How you doing?
And on the phone, in quarantine, we have Hassan Godwin. Or maybe he's not there anymore.
No, I'm still here. It's just not quarantine. I don't know what you would call it.
Purgatory?
Sure. Well, with Windows. There's Windows and purgatory.
But that could also be considered.
Isn't that a song?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
How would that song go?
I will be writing it while the show is going on.
That's why I didn't even speculate.
See, this is why I don't do follow-up questions for the news. Now you know how it feels like. So if anyone is having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming.
Or dead audio streaming, also, you know, depending on what you want.
Also on the GBB website. You can see us live in the webcam right now, waving hi. Well, at least I'm waving hi. Provided that you're listening to us live right now on delay, because we are on a 9-second delay.
Move on. And move on.
Well, actually, I've talked to people that have listened to us on the archive. So just to clarify for them who are listening to us on the archives now, not live.
I'm not
going to
help
here.
You. I'm going to bail.
I just give me a shrimp fork. I want to poke my eyes out now.
So
I'm not the only one. Just move on.
So I'm going to take it away with the news.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet with the news.
We have to have well wishes.
Well, I was going to get that when we get to the second part of the show.
All right, go ahead.
No well wishes.
No well wishes now. To hell with all of you. Remember that in Conan? And if you don't answer my prayers, to hell with you.
Yeah. Now we have nothing but hostility.
Yes.
Well wishes come way later.
Yeah, screw those well wishes.
As always, the news is brought to you in part by the Rat Bastards at Belmore Towing, located on 2720 Merrick Road in Belmore, New York.
Please don't sue us.
Just in time for the holidays. If you wanted to be treated like certain people who were treated during this holiday season, legally, then contact them at Belmore Towing.
And how is that, Mark?
Well, we're talking about Easter here, so in a roundabout way, mm-hmm. how the King of the Jews was treated for the Easter time.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish to be treated in that fashion,
we're off.
Call these people.
Call these people.
So they will nail you to a cross.
They might.
They will
figuratively nail you to a cross with their extraordinarily high but legal business practices.
Yep.
Such as paying $60 for a $7 lug nut that you might need to get your car on the road again.
You know what I honestly think? I think you should take it away with the news right now.
And who are these people again, and where are they located?
They are Belmore Towing.
I'm not there. I just want everyone to know I'm not there. I am
Merrick
not
Road. And you can call them and say, it came from radio, says hi,
you
at 516-781-0200.
Okay.
Well, I am exonerated from said lawsuit. Thank you very much.
The views and opinion of Hassan Godwin or anybody else in purgatory does not necessarily reflect those.
Oh, yeah, but your views reflect the show. That's a good idea. it's called slander, by the way.
Only if it wasn't true.
Huh?
Only if it wasn't true.
It's your word against the organizations.
Yeah, legal. They. I said they practice legally business practice.
Your word against the man.
Yeah, but you're slanderizing them by giving them bad press.
Am I giving them bad press?
No, you're not really slanderizing.
Not at all. I'm saying if you want to be treated a certain way, go to these guys. How is that slanderous? That is a very accurate portrayal.
And you explain to them that it's nothing shifty. It's totally legal.
Exactly.
Accurate by your point of view, totally, which is what the slander is.
Totally legal.
Totally okay.
Legal. Speaking of legal.
Mr. Segway, nah.
TV's Judge Joan Brown was at Shelby County Juvenile Court this past week.
Tell us about that.
On behalf of a juvenile in a child support case. While he was waiting for the court to bring the child's documents, Judge Joe Brown chastised the juvenile court.
He chastised the entire juvenile court
and the judge preceding the court, threatening to take the matter to a judicial review. He was then promptly removed in handcuffs from the courtroom and held in contempt of court.
More so from adding an extra conjunction onto the end of his chastising.
Well, it was an extra one. It wasn't regular. It's Judge Joe Brown because he chastised it. Judge Joe Brown will be held at the Criminal Justice Center in protective custody, segregated from the general population until either he has served his 5-day sentence or, of course, is released beforehand. Juvenile Court Judge Curtis S. Pearson says, "Anyone who comes before the Juvenile Court of Memphis, Tennessee, and Shelby County will be treated fairly, with dignity, and with respect. Anyone who acts in a contentious manner toward this court, towards any member of this court, towards any employee of this court, or toward any visitor of this court will be dealt appropriately according to the laws of the state of Tennessee." So in other words, don't say nothing in the court of Tennessee.
There you go. Or Georgia or Alabama or pretty much all those southern states that I love so much.
So the judge...
See how I worked that in that I love so much. There you go.
So the judge is now in jail. Poor Judge Joe Brown.
You come to judge. There go the judge. There go the judge.
Let's see.
I wonder if anyone caught that reference.
I don't know. I don't know. Me and you. I just actually was going to say.
Oh, you got the album. Nice.
I was going to say, where is Sammy Davis when you need him? You know? Hey, old babe. But go ahead.
All right.
That's in the news, Mark.
Yes. As mentioned last week, this May marks the 30th anniversary of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. To further celebrate this, the original 1980s voice cast of
Did you say Mutant?
Mutant, yes. That's my accent.
I thought you said Mutant instead of Mutant.
You chastised him. Allows him to continue.
Allows me to continue it.
Continue.
The original 1980s voice cast of the original cartoon series will reunite for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles special.
That's really?
Right, yes. Cam Clark, Rob Paulsen, Barry Gordon, and Townsend Coleman will reprise their roles of the original Turtles on a new TMNT series currently on Nickelodeon named Wormquake, which is airing this month. Of note, the 80s Turtles themselves did make a reunion for the 25th anniversary, but due to Canadian laws, the voice actors were unable to participate. So this will be the
Canadian
first
laws?
Yeah. For any animated series that's produced in Canada, only Canadian voice actors are allowed to work on it.
Okay.
So they were not Canadian, so they weren't allowed to voice their own characters from the original 80s series for productions made in Canada.
I understand now.
Do you realize that series lasted 9 years?
Yeah. It's a long time.
From which years to which?
Didn't I just say no follow-up questions?
Then what are you giving me the yep for? I'm opening the door so that we can discuss it. You're yepping me, and then you closed it. So I'm like, okay, finish it, smart guy.
Well, let's see.
1987 to 1996, the series went.
Oh, so you knew that?
Yes, which is why I opened the door for the discussion.
Good job opening the door there, Hassan.
Thank you. Good job slamming the door closed.
To further keep the door open, for those of you who are not in the know, The new TMNT series does have Rob Paulsen voicing a different turtle. And Barry Gordon is the voice of the Quicks, the Nestle's Quick Rabbit.
Okay.
Well, in case you didn't know. And now you do. Let's see. Oh, moving along. Here's something I find to be quite interesting. Marvel has announced plans to bring all versions of Spider-Man that ever existed in a mega media event series that would be called, what else, The Spider-Verse. It will be written by current Spidey writer and a man who not only killed off Peter Parker, but replaced him with Dr. Octopus, Dan Slott. The execs say the story will pit Peter Parker's from throughout history, all of his allies that ever donned a spider costume, even his counterparts from across the Marvel Universe, against a single enemy that's out to absorb their powers for some unknown end. The scope of the event is so big, the word epic doesn't do it justice.
Are they going to have the Manhattan Transfer singing the theme song to the cartoon at the beginning of this gala event?
Well, it'd be interesting. Interesting. I know.
Wow, how momenticized is that? That's ridiculous. So some nefarious creatures coming to absorb their powers for some unknown reason.
Right.
And all these Spider-Men
and Spider-Ham
and whatever must congregate to in order to stop it. Okay, fine.
Spider-Verse. I think they're biting Spider-verse. Off the Doctor Who thing.
Oh, the Hoover?
The 50th anniversary.
They keep looking for an invitation to the Moneyverse. That's why they're doing Spider-Verse
that's true.
Right there.
Yeah, what am I thinking, right?
Let us into the Moneyverse.
Yes. Well, Moneyverse.
You figure they have to keep the story going. Somehow.
Yes, do they?
As we say, the search for money, more Moneyverse.
Yes, they
don't have to keep anything going.
Well, if
they don't change it. I think you just write another story. Just do a regular stupid story instead of these gimmicks. The last gimmick that I, which made me stop, is when he made a deal with Mephisto to nullify his marriage so that he could keep Aunt May alive.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that's enough. Goodbye.
Well, you know, it's just
reading 30 years. That'll leave now.
Well,
I'm done.
It was an executive decision.
They
felt that the Spider-Man is supposed to appeal to a wider audience as a loner who's not married to a super hot model.
Right. Because that's what geeks do. Nobody reads a comic for wish fulfillment. They read comics for personalized association.
Right.
So when you read a comic about a superhero who has, you shoot webs and swing across the city and has superhuman strength and it has the agility of a man-sized spider, what you really want is realism. That's what you want. You want the reality of it. You don't want to associate yourself as that hero who also goes home to a super hot model at the end. That alienates you from it.
Yeah,
you
want
to be brought closer to Spider-Man. That's perfect.
Yes,
that's why we know executives are stupid.
Let's ask our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
Yeah.
Knowing Spider-Man throughout the years.
Not personally, but through the media.
Do you find him to be more or less appealing being married to a hot model?
Oh, Christ. I think he should be... I think it's, either way, in my opinion.
Yes.
Spider-Man's Spider-Man. I don't care whether he's married to a hot model or, whatever. It's about the superhero. It's not about his private life, as this country is so caught up in, obviously. But that's why we have these idiot reality shows that are hits. But the more important question of this whole thing is, I wonder how Vincent van Gogh would feel if he knew his painting of Starry, Starry Night or Starry Night is hanging under our air conditioner in the studio here. I just think he would, if he wasn't depressed when he painted this picture, wow. If he saw right under this beautiful air conditioner.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Wow. All right. Well,
just a thought. Go ahead. That's how important I think the Spider-Man issue is.
That was the connection.
Because I was sort of daydreaming while I was hearing this.
For those of you in the know, there was a little-known band called the Wu-Tang Clan. And they have released their latest album, Wu Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. And they decide to make it release as an extremely rare, one-of-a-kind copy encased in an engraved silver and nickel box. So, as most musicians release albums or CDs or what have you, they will release one single album in the silver and nickel-plated box.
The album or a single from the album?
No, one. The album. The entire album will be released.
The entire album in a gold box.
In a silver and nickel-plated box, yes.
Wow. Wow.
RZA, who's one of the members.
I can just tell you this country's going to hell in a handbag.
Basket.
Really, seriously. With all these wonderful ideas, Spider-Verse, the silver album.
So RZA, who's one of the members of the group, says, "We're about to put out a piece of art like nobody else has done in history of modern music."
That does not sound like RZA.
"We're making a single sale collector's item. This is like somebody having the scepter of an Egyptian king."
They better not put it out in this office. They'll hang it under the air conditioner.
But I think it's a novel idea to try something like this to, you know, boost interest in their music group, because obviously you can still hear the music and get the music anywhere else, but to have the album in a box. It's a thing. Yeah. The look I'm getting from Charlie.
I just think it's an amazing idea to cover their rear ends in case the album stinks. You know, it's just I'm not saying the album.
It's a rap album, though.
I'm not saying the album will stink. I'm just saying if they don't get. If it's not a big seller, I think it's just...
So you think this
Well, this is a backup, you know?
The one collector's item?
Yeah, in a silver thing.
If the album's no good, nobody's going to want to buy the album.
Yeah, but how do you know? People will buy it just for the thing, the silver mouth.
But it's only one.
People. That guy bought the thing for $1 million, the comic book.
Children. No screaming.
Now... I think it's... what do I care?
It's a gimmick, what Charlie was saying. It's just a gimmick. I mean...
Yeah, it's a big gimmick.
Just like Spider-Verse. And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles come together for the 30th anniversary.
Ooh, 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
With voices from 30 years ago, where most of the kids who liked the Turtles weren't alive.
And they do this with the Beatles all the time. They're always coming out with something else with the Beatles. There's something new. Oh, this is the digitally remastered take of Let It Be when you actually hear McCartney cough in the middle of his,
exactly.
You know, and then they put it out there and people go crazy and they buy it. They just keep beating a dead horse with the Beatles.
And they just don't
have to, because people are going to buy Beatle music anyway.
So, but in this case, they might have to because people might not buy Wu-Tang Clan.
Well,
so.
We don't know.
It's a rap album. The Wu-Tang Clan will sell. The thing is that they don't really break musical ground. There's not really much you can do with a rap album. You know, I mean, you'll get a couple of really solid beats, and then, you know, a couple of songs would be iconic and stuff like that. But the band is basically like a fixture in hip-hop. They're like an old band in hip-hop. So basically, them coming out with a new album in and of itself is an event, and then the fact that they're going to try to spruce it up with this, this wonderful packaging deal is, you know, just a kind of nod to capitalism. Basically, they're like, yeah, we know, we're doing this extra stuff.
Now, what is it going
to
be in?
Buy more.
It's going to be in, the album is going to be in a nickel and a silver box. Yeah, in a box.
Better watch out. Flavor Flay is going to put a clock on that and hang it around his neck.
This is the wrong
band. I'm telling you.
But this still be funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of gimmicks,
Yes, a sad way.
For you fans of The Price is Right and The Drew Carey Show.
Come on down.
Wow. Wait a minute. Fans of The Price is Right and Drew Carey Show.
I never hope I stay home enough during the day to be a fan of The Price is Right.
Yeah, Drew Carey Show has been off the air for like decades.
Yeah.
Not decades, for quite a while. Yeah. And The Price is Right, give me a break. Who are fans? Who are mutual fans of the
the Wu-Tang Clan and Price is Right?
Who are mutual fans of the Wu-Tang Clan, The Price is Right,
Spider-Verse,
and Drew Carey Show?
I can't wait to hear this.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Spider-Man.
Well, see, because as people may know, Drew Carey has taken over the hosting reins of The Price is Right.
Right.
So if you're a fan of The Drew Carey Show, which Drew Carey was on, and a fan of The Price is Right, which Drew Carey is a host of, see how it comes together?
No.
Are they coming out with a box set, The Drew Carey Show on The Price is Right, and it's going to be in a silver box?
Big silver Drew Carey box.
No. Close, but no. On April 1st, the host of The Price is Right will switch places with the show's his co-host on The Drew Carey Show, Craig Ferguson, on The Late Late Show. That's the connection. So, on the 31st,
wait,
which is
no,
Monday,
there's no connection. Why was what does Craig Ferguson have to do?
Craig Ferguson used to be on The Drew Carey Show as his boss.
Yeah, so
if you're a fan of The Drew Carey Show, who had Craig Ferguson and Drew Carey in the show, and you're a fan of The Price is Right, Craig Ferguson from The Drew Carey Show.
Ironic annotation.
And
that is not corollary to the fact that he's switching off the. Oh, never mind.
And is Drew Carey going to do the Craig Ferguson show?
Yes, Drew Carey will do the Craig Ferguson show.
That's all you had to say.
that's what I was trying to get at. I was trying to cut through that, Jim. There you go.
Craig Ferguson is going to host The Price is Right on the 1st, April 1st, which will be Tuesday.
Right. It'll be like an April Fool's thing, right?
Yes.
Right.
And Craig Ferguson
move on.
Will host the show.
And here's how you do it, Mark. And as an ironic annotation to that, Craig Ferguson used to be Drew Carey's boss on The Drew Carey Show, which is now defunct and nobody even knows about it. But just to add that in, I thought it was, an interesting addendum. That's how you do that. You don't go, oh, by the way, if you're a fan of this show and this other show that's been long canceled, then maybe you'll be interested in the next piece of news I'm about to give.
Maybe the Disc of Hassan Goblin should do the news, and you don't have to worry about this.
You will let me do the news. That's up to you.
All right.
A mistake.
Okay.
That's a mistake that you're willing to make.
Next week, Hassan Godwin is going to do the news.
From Purgatory.
I've done the news. You act like I never do the news.
No, not read the news, to do the news.
I've done the news.
Hassan's news was quick. Everybody's an idiot here. All right, that's it. The end. Now on with the show. We're ready for our break, Byron. Brian, everybody's an idiot.
moving along.
Okay.
Shooting has now resumed for Fast and Furious 7, and it is now official on how they will finish Paul Walker's scenes. They have hired 4 actors with bodies very similar to Paul's physique, and they will be used for movement and a base. And Paul's face and voice will be used on top using CGI.
This is just not right.
Oh, in other words, it's going to be a debacle.
Really? I think this is not right.
They have to do it somehow. What are they gonna do? The Bela Lugosi put the cloak up to his face?
Hey,
it
worked.
Actors, the dentist.
That franchise is rich enough where they could start reshooting things and explain why Paul Walker, respectfully, why Paul Walker is no longer with the show.
Right, and well, honor
it was,
him.
It was
instead of making a mockery of us.
It was one of the different ways that they took the time out to figure out what they were going to do. They actually at one point thought that they were going to scrap the entire film and make a new Fast and Furious 7,
which they should have.
But they decided that since a large portion of Paul Walker's scenes are already filmed, they would continue on and retire the character, as they say. So who knows what's going to be. I mean, I can think of one movie off the top of my head, Jet Li's The One, where he was fighting himself, and they had a stunt double fight him, and he put Jet Li's face on top of it. So,
I thought you said they were going to use Jet Li. I was going to go, wait a minute. There'd be something totally off about that.
Brandon Lee died while filming The Crow, and for many scenes, they used a double and imposed Brandon Lee's face on top of the double. Yes.
And how did that work out?
Well, you've seen The Crow, right?
I've never seen The Crow, actually.
It's a good movie.
You know, you know what? You can't really tell unless you're told. If someone tells you, then you'd be like, oh, yeah, I can see that's not him. But then, you know, if you're watching the film, and that was 20 years ago. The Crow came out 20 years ago, this month, I think. You know, 20 years ago, you're sitting there, you're watching, you're not thinking CGI 20 years ago, so you're like, I thought he died, but they obviously managed to finish the film. Good on them. And then you get the DVD, which wasn't actually prevalent 20 years ago. It was in the middle times.
Right.
You get the DVD, you watch the behind the scenes, and it's one of those extensive DVDs, and then they tell you, oh, yeah, all this stuff was fake. We had to, you know, he was dead, and we didn't have the footage, so we had to put this guy's face on here, and we used this other guy. And you're like, wow, this entire movie is a farce. So, I mean, it actually worked. If you were, keywords here, unaware that they were going to do that in the first place. But now they've announced, oh, yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to build a robot, Paul Walker, and we're going to use him in these scenes. And no one's going to know the difference. It's going to be It's going to be smooth and wonderful.
Smooth.
So you think it would have been better if they just would have not said anything and just slapped the movie out?
Yeah, probably. Instead of making a big spectacle of the situation. And then now people are going to be looking for the seams. They're going to be looking for the puppet strings.
In today's day and age, I don't think that would have worked. I really don't.
What do you mean?
I think it would. The studio would have gotten a large backlash from not saying what they were gonna do instead of just
They don't deny what they're gonna do, but they just show you what they did later. They show you after the fact, after you've seen it, after you've enjoyed it, and after it's made $100 million, and they come out and say, oh, by the way, Paul Walker was, you know, there were three or four scenes in here where Paul Walker is actually no longer in the film, and that's a body double. You can do that. Like I said, that's what they did with The Crow.
Right.
What they did with episodes 1, 2, and 3 before, you know, when they came out. Like, they didn't say, well, you know, Neil McGregor doesn't know how to do a monkey flip. So what we did was, instead of strapping him up to wires, we just got some other guy, he made a monkey flip, and we put Ewan McGregor's face on it. They didn't say that to you while it was being filmed. They said it after the fact, after you were already indoctrinated.
But...
And smiling.
Using, I'm going to go with three things off the top of my head that they did. Flashdance, Footloose, and more recently, Black Swan. They did not say that the actor was doing all those scenes, and they didn't say that it was, but then after the movie had came out, there was a backlash when they used the dance doubles.
Yes, here's why. Because they let you believe that that was actually... Jennifer, whatever her name was.
Jennifer Beals.
Doing the dancing. And it wasn't Jennifer Beals. And so there's a backlash. The woman who did the dancing didn't get credit for it. And thus, it became a controversy. I'm not saying you keep it a secret. I'm just saying you don't tell anybody about the magic trick before the trick. You tell them after the trick.
What do you think?
Well, when I found out with Jennifer Beals and Flashdance that she didn't do the dancing, the first thing I thought about was, what a great editor. that's what I thought, because I thought it was hot doing the dancing. I, you know, because you figure in this day and age, when you get an actress, they train them to do everything. Like Angelina Jolie was actually riding that horse and shooting that gun, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's what I thought about The Crow. I was like, wow. I didn't know that was there's two or three moments in the film where they actually replaced the stunt actor's face with Brandon Lee's. And it looked, I mean, if you didn't know to look for the seams, it looked fine. It completely looked, I mean, we know Paul Walker died during the filming of the film. What them telling us is going to make us do is just going to make us look at each and every one of his performances in the film, each every acting moment of his, and just try to determine whether it was real or fake. And that's potentially a huge mistake.
I guess time will tell. And we're ready for our break there, Brian?
Thank goodness.
We'll be right back over Game from the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show.
No.
Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, welcome fame, he's ignored, action is his reward. To him, life is a great big bang, wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
Sean Khalifa, from Man.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam. It's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Yeah. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we bout cash. I see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
I never feared death or dying. I only fear never trying. I am whatever I am. Only God can judge me now. One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it. I'm not to be played with because it could get dangerous. See these people I ride with. This moment, we own it.
And the same ones that I ride with be the same ones that I die with. Put it all out on the line with. If you're looking for me, you can find wit in the new car or the crown whip. My new bra does a fine chick in the weather squad I'm down with. Ain't no way around it. What you say, tell me what you say. Working hard, repping for my dogs. Do this every day, taking off, looking out for all. Making sure we ball like the mob. All you do is call, catch you if you fall. Young Khalifa.
I never fear death or dying. I only fear never trying. I am whatever I am. Only God can judge me now.
It's a day in the life and I'm ready to ride. Got the spirit, I'm feeling like a kill inside. Oh, financial outbreak, I'm free but I ain't out yet. Ride with the plug so I'm close to the outlet. At the red light rim sitting offset. I look better on your girl than
fit.
Stuck to the plan. Always said that we would stand up, never ran. We the fam and loyalty never change up. Been down since day one, look at where we came from. Jumping out on anybody who try to say something. One thing about it, got a problem, I got the same one. Money rolls, we fold. Plenty clubs, we close. Follow the same code. Never turn our backs, our cars don't even lose control. Everything rides on tonight. Even if I got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it. I ride a die to be played with me. Cause it could get dangerous. See, these people I ride with. This moment, we own it.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back
nice,
to
nice hand dancing, Mark.
Hey.
This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, and on the phone is...
somebody.
Somebody in purgatory with Windows.
Some loud mouth that's pissing everybody off today.
So as Charlie alluded to earlier in the show, we have well wishes to our friend Rob Longo, who was supposed to be here today, but he contracted some rare virus from his child, who had a rare virus overnight. And as you know, if your kid is sick, you're going to get whatever he got.
As we say, it's a family affair. Yep.
Someone said to me a long time ago, we were supposed to get the flu shot, and I was opting not to get a flu shot. And he,
good man.
He looked at me and he said, he said, do you have kids? And I said, no. He goes, you don't need a flu shot. I'm like, well, why not? He goes, kids are petri dishes.
Yeah, that's the common thread, like that the kids are petri dishes of germs.
Yeah. I never understood the idea of actually injecting myself with the virus in order to keep from catching the virus, but I understand I'm a layman and not a doctor or a scientist, so I wouldn't understand that.
All right, so
this is like a mobile for me.
I have to just segue out of this because
we were on the floor with this.
During the break, I had mentioned to Charlie, why would he bring up the Van Gogh picture, as if it's the first time he saw it, because it's been in this studio for the longest time, and then I realized that Charlie is sitting in a different spot.
I'm sitting in
studio.
Front of it now.
So now
which
he
I never
usually
did.
It's to his back. So he's seeing things differently for the first time
and
today.
Saying, what the
and
hell
he's,
did they
and
put
he's commenting on
there?
These things and I'm like, what drugs is he on that he's noticing these things for the first time? But it's because he's sitting in a different spot, so he's seeing new things.
I'm seeing new things and outside our
he's
window.
Seeing the
here,
window.
Outside our window, it looks like the set of Star Troopers because there's these vines coming out. It looks like a spider attacking us in the wind.
It's the wind is, yeah, and I'm like, what? I'm what is like, he talking about? Why is. And I'm like, oh.
It's like.
So that's a little behind the scenes for him
wow.
right now.
Look at the front of this
so,
place.
So next week, we're going to have Charlie
what you're
sitting.
Saying is that we're creatures of habit.
Yes. So next week, we're going to have Charlie sitting somewhere else, and he'll be noticing new things. So that'll be a segment we're going to call What New Things Will
I'm
Charlie
gonna,
Find?
I'm going to be sitting in with Brian. Then I'm going to say, look at that coffee cup on top of the TV. Look, how long has that been there? Yeah.
That's a little behind the scenes for you all.
Yes, yes. This would be on the special effects reel if we had something. Yeah.
So for those of you who were hoping to hear Rob Longo talk about the Pirates of the Airwaves, he will not be able to be here today, but please check out the Indiegogo campaign, a Kickstarter campaign. Just look up piratesoftheairwaves.com so you can see what he
Get
is
well
all about.
Get well soon.
It's about a
Rob.
Heavy metal radio station playing out of a all-Catholic school. That's what it's basically it's about. So check it out. So instead, this week, Charlie, why don't you tell us what we're going to be talking about?
Well, it was on a night just like tonight. No. the other morning, I got up, which is always a good thing in my book. And
it's a victory.
I have this thing now on Optimal. We have Antenna TV. We have This TV. And that's the name of it, This TV. And
that TV.
Cozy TV on Op. These all cater to the old shows and the very old shows. It's like my shows, like when I grew up with Superman, like in the late 50s, early 60s, or early 60s stuff. So they have all those shows. And the other day, since I work nights and I come home and I put on the TV, I've noticed that I did a comparison in my head about shows today and shows back then. Like your hour show versus your half hour, you know, show, or your hour show from then. And it just occurred to me that these shows back then, with the smaller budgets and the very little effects that they had, hold everybody's attention even now. Even now, without all this big, elaborate stuff that they're doing, and the budget is so enormous. So when you turn on Antenna, Cozy, or this TV, you're seeing this thing. You're seeing it. And you're just looking at it and go, wow, that was a great episode. Wow, that was... The Honeymoon is basically shot in one room.
Yeah.
I could watch those forever. And I was just thinking, you know, why doesn't somebody now, you know, pick up the example and instead of being so elaborate, just go with the quality ideas instead of the quality effects?
I think that back in the day,
they didn't have it.
Exactly. So they didn't have it.
And it's what we
creative.
Always talk about with the independent films, when these guys have no money and they got to use their brains instead of the effects. And in this case, I think TV was much more intelligent back then because you had nothing to work with. We were talking about Superman.
Right.
That same scene, you see him fly, you see the city disappear and he goes up and he landed the same way, everything the same. But there was a story. You were like, oh my God, he's flying, look at that, he's flying. Oh, he's landing, look at that, was it. Flying and landing, you didn't see. I always used to say as a kid, how did he wind up that way landing if he was this way flying, you know?
Or my favorite thing about Superman is that the bullets used to bounce off of him, but he used to jump out the way whenever they threw the gun at him.
Yeah.
Because the gun was a real prop. And he had to go, whoa, he had to move out the way.
Yeah. And like you always said, these guys could shoot really good to hit that ass all the time, you know? But,
I think it's the hour long and the science fiction program because sitcoms pretty much haven't changed too much.
Right, because it's just basically
it's the same. It's the situation.
They
got to
make you laugh, so they're creative without saying. But I mean, you know, the hour shows. I'm talking about the, you know, all the
to my own detriment, the special effects in certain shows I just could not get past. For example, I only have seen two episodes of the original Star Trek series from beginning to end because every time I used to watch it, I was like, I cannot accept these special effects. So I'm unable to enjoy the rest of the show, which is, you know, bad because I've been told many times that a lot of those shows were so well written that the special effects were just a side thing. But for me as a kid, I just couldn't do it. Like, you know, I cannot see a toaster being a villain, a viable villain as a toaster. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they decided that, well, they have to try and get more people like me interested with, you know, flashy special effects. Mm. That's the best I can think of. What about you, Hassan? Were you on board with the old school stuff?
Yeah, I didn't care. I mean, I do now, I guess. They remodeled all the, or they re, whatever you want to call it. They
remastered?
Upgraded. Remastered. Yeah, that's the term. All the original Star Trek shows with the updated special effects.
Right.
So that, you know, that the Enterprise actually looks like a ship. And when they say the Enterprise is at warp speed, when they flash the ship, it's actually moving at warp speed instead of, like, having to mentally associate what you're seeing with what they're saying that you're seeing.
Right.
Which was a lot of what old world special effects used to be. Of course, there's a diminishment in your, you know, in your imaginative acumen because... you're basically capable of doing it when you're younger or when it's put to terms to you like that. It's like, well, the ship's at warp. imagine the ship is at warp, and you're going, okay, I'm with you. I imagine the ship's at warp.
Right.
And when they take it away from you, when they take that away from you, and they say, okay, the ship's at warp, and look, the ship is at warp. And you go, oh, yeah, you said it was at warp, and the ship is at warp. And now I don't have to associate what that might mean, personally. I don't have to imagine what that must look like. I don't have to imagine what that must feel like, because you're showing it to me. So, of course, over the course of time, I'm going to lose my ability to identify my imagination with your imagination. I'm not, you know, it used to be a joint process. They used to tell it, and you used to see it. You know, you used to think it, and then be able to see it. Now they tell it and show it. So now you just watch it and absorb it. But you don't have any kind of level of association with it. So, of course, it's diminishing us. But, I mean, kids today, I mean, you couldn't do a show today in one room. You couldn't possibly. They'd be like, they never leave the room. This is stupid. I mean, the notion that they never leave the room would be the deciding factor as to whether or not the show had any kind of merit. Because they don't go anywhere. They don't do anything. Nothing is happening. It's just two people talking. I don't tune in on television to watch two people talk. That's just ridiculous. Never mind what they're saying or how important what they're saying is. They're not doing anything. I can't see them doing something. So therefore, I realize I'm not doing anything. And thus, you know, this show associates me way too much with my own inactivity, and I don't want to associate with it. I want to watch someone run across a speedboat and explode. And I feel like I'm doing it.
So, Charlie, when do you think the transition happened between the old to the new style?
I think I would say, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm trying to think of when the shows start the transitioning of. I think it was when our movies started getting more advanced. Like, for instance, Star Wars. I think a lot of that is a tribute to Star Wars, because that came in the mid-70s.
Right.
And you still were coming off the shows, the detective shows, you know, the 70s, the Charlie's thing. You were coming off of all those shows, and then all of a sudden you have this amazing movie, Star Wars, with, at that time, amazing visual effects.
State-of-the-art cutting edge.
And what comes out after Battlestar Galactica comes out on TV? all these shows start coming out on TV and using more elaborate, you know, let's get on the bandwagon, of course, because that's the way life is. Let's get on the bandwagon. And I think the only thing that escapes that whole, my whole theory, is the, like you said, situation comedy. That can't change. It has to be funny. It has to be funny. Now, you look at old shows, and I'm talking old shows, that even before my time, the Jack Benny show, the Burns and Allen.
Yeah.
Those shows, I was just saying, somebody, if you watch those shows, they're hysterical.
Yeah.
They are hysterical. If you watch Groucho Marx in the 30s, the Marx Brothers, the thing, they're hysterical. You watch shows like The Big Bang Theory, hysterical. You know, it's like, just that doesn't change. But the way shooting a series, I think mid-70s, and then in the 80s, it was all like...
So isn't it weird? I mean, people say this all the time. We've said it on the show lots of times, that supposedly the audience has gotten more mature as time has gone by, yet comedy hasn't really gone too far. If anything, it's gone down. Like, toilet humor has become more prevalent.
Well, I could give you an example of, as people matured, how a show is terrible. If you watched, when I was a kid in the 60s, and I watched The Monkees, I thought that was the greatest show. Watched it today, and it looked like a bunch of idiots. You know, it's like, I mean, I like the song, but I cannot get through a show. I looked at it, I said, what the hell was I thinking, you know? But and the music was, of course, the music of the time. But, I mean, I thought the show was hysterical. I was like, yeah, you know? But
for the drama you would think that they would have to improve on the quality of the writing, which is...
Well, Mark, look at Crop Superstars. I mean, do any of those hold up? You see them today?
A lot of shows don't hold up. I'm just going to go with, of course, my number one go-to show, which is Power Rangers. And when I went back, because 3 years ago, they reran the first season. And I hadn't seen that, you know, in 15, 16 years. And I'm watching, I was like, oh, man, this is some really bad stuff. It's so ridiculously bad. I'm thinking, why did I like this? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember why I liked it now. Because it appealed to that ridiculousness of it. It's just so far out. I'm like, this is just so
Do you remember
bad.
Batman in the 60s.
I loved Batman
Oh, my God. It was so colorful. Number one, it was so colorful. And you actually believed he was walking up that wall. It was so funny in the 60s. Look at him. He's walking up a wall.
I always wondered why the people sitting on the windows were always at an odd angle. And I'm always like, oh, because they were actually standing
up on a platform open.
Yeah.
You know,
it didn't occur to me, though, back then.
Yeah. And it was like, and then I remember they shattered my whole dream. I saw in the TV guy or some idiotic book that the whole set to that. And I said, what? You know, and it was an eye opener, but then Laughing came along and they did that through the, you know.
Right.
So
let's take it apart here. Story-wise, the stories supposedly have gotten more complex, right?
Yeah, because of the complex world, you have to give it that.
But you would take a show such as Twilight Zone, where all they do is just pretty much enhance the special effects whenever they bring it back.
The shows back then had to be literally Broadway plays.
Right.
They had teleplays, as they called them back then. They had to be plays because that's the only way they could be. They had nothing. They had to be good.
I'm going to quote the great actor Christian Bale with what he said. I've done this many times with what he said about Terminator 4. That he said that he would not have done the movie.
Why am I in this film?
He said, I'll never forget what he said. He said, I would never have signed up to do this movie if I didn't like the script. And the script reads like a play. And then they're just going to add the special effects later. So I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be a great movie. Mm-hmm. Of course, when I see the movie, I'm like, this is a crap. But I think that his idea that it played like a play first. And then they add a special...
It's a soup that eats like a meal.
Well, I just thought it was interesting of how he portrayed it, although he was completely wrong.
Well,
but
you got those two groups right in that one. As an example, you have old school and new school with Thor.
Yeah.
Wasn't Anthony Hopkins complaining?
Yes.
It's not like, you know, no, it's no acting anymore. You got to watch, make sure you're on the right spot. You got to make sure, you know, you're looking here, you're looking there, and you lose the act, you lose the craft, you know?
So we have...
Well, what's the mother of invention?
Necessity.
There you go. If you don't have a need to be crafty and to be clever and to you know, kind of formulate your shots and stuff like that around your efforts to make something look visually interesting, then your product is going to be lackluster because there's no effort behind it. In the old days, to make science fiction films and stuff, like, you had to be passionate about that stuff because it was a pain in the butt in order to try to make any of that stuff look real. There's a lot of money that went into it. You had to hire whole studios to come in after the fact and build miniatures and stuff. Everybody had to be passionate about it because nobody was getting paid a lot of money. That was A. And B, it was kind of loveless because if you pulled it off, well, you did what you were supposed to do. If you didn't pull it off, you were a sucky special effects guy. And ultimately, your work was going to be on screen for maybe 5 seconds. You know, it was going to be a flash or something for 5 seconds. So it had to be passion. Everybody had to be passionate about everything that they were doing in order to make anything work. And now they don't. Now they just are. They're just
press the button.
Yeah, you're going to stand here in front of the screen. You're being attacked by a giant octopus. Action. You know? And then that guy's saying, an octopus. Octopus. And then he runs away. And then they send the dailies over to ILM. And they paint an octopus in there. And it's done. It's over. So, of course, something's going to be missing because nobody, you know, you just don't even have to be a clever director to do that stuff anymore.
Sad, but
they have special effects directors to come in and tell the director how to direct their people for the special effects. So they don't even have to know what they're doing anymore. See, that happened a lot. That happens with, what's his name? Who we won't mention because we don't want to get sued. But to whom I've been extremely critical of.
Your best friend.
One of my best friends. There's three. So it's one out of the three of them. But definitely, there was an article just recently where he was talking about, yeah, this guy had to come in and tell me exactly how to do this stuff because I don't know how to do any of this stuff.
So
you don't know how to do anything.
So we
admit you don't know how to do that stuff.
We have less than 2 minutes to go, so we're going to do a quick final thought. Hassan, final thought?
Necessity is mother of invention. If it's too easy, it's going to look like it was too easy, and it's not going to be interesting.
Charlie?
I think once you find the winning formula in any time zone, something that's timeless, something that is interested then as it is now, as it will be in the future, as in the honeymooners, it's all about relationships. It's the same thing in every time zone. You have the same kind of problem. So that's why I think that was, that's timeless, like Beatle music. Everybody always finds something they like in Beatle music.
My final thought is I feel sorry for the people that have to dress up in complete green screen outfits and do stuff for the thing because no one even cares or knows who they are.
Yeah.
So
they look stupid.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That about does it for this week on It Came From the
Radio. Does it really?
Right here. Yes, it does.
Okay.
And each week on WGBB, if you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. Listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. Make sure you like us on our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. We will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.